want to scare anyone. But I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason. His body was never recovered from the lake after he drowned. And if you listen to the old timers in town, they'll tell you he's still out there. Some sort of demented creature. Surviving the wilderness. Full grown by now.
Welcome back to the Haddonfield Horrors Podcast, where we review horror movies and horror movie franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Talon.
I'm Rudy.
And today we're watching Friday the 13th, Part 2, released in 1981, directed by Steve Miner and written by Ron Kurtz. But before we get into the movie and all the drama that was behind the scenes, Talon, can you give the people a plot summary?
After killing Mrs. Voorhees, who was avenging her son Jason's death, Alice Hardy can finally sigh with relief. But there's just one problem. Jason never drowned at Camp Crystal Lake and lived in the nearby woods as a hermit all this time. The day that Alice beheaded his mother, Jason saw everything and his heart was filled with a thirst for revenge. 2 months later, Alice gets stabbed by an ice pick in a temple and vanishes. Is Jason behind this? 5 years later, a camp next to Camp Crystal Lake is built and the counselors start snooping around the old abandoned camp ruins. This makes Jason very upset. Since his shack is next to the remains of Camp Crystal Lake, and what is inside the shack shall be secret forever, even if it means killing 9 people.
So, Friday the 13th, Part 2. Now, this is where the timeline gets batshit crazy. So, this is 2 months after the shit that went down at Camp Crystal Lake with Mrs. Voorhees. But when we saw Jason attacking Alice at the end of that movie, he was still a kid. But 2 months later, he's a tall, big, beefy man who is killing Alice. Tuan, when you first saw this movie, what was your overall thoughts and impressions?
I will say I did like it more than the first one. The characters felt like they had some character this time. Even though, like, there was nothing, like, super impressive about any of the characters, they fit more into those archetypes that we kind of talked about last episode, but they also just felt like they had a bit more, like, character to them and weren't just there to be there and get killed, even though that's what most of them were there for, but ones that actually did have, like, some dialogue, I guess, they were better than the people that we had in the first movie.
They were fleshed out more.
Yeah, they were. And it definitely shows, and it was a little more of an enjoyable watch than the first one compared to just how they were. Yeah, in the first one, they really did just feel like they just pulled a couple people together and said, okay, y'all act like y'all are co-workers now. So it worked better in this movie with the people that they had. I don't know if I can, like, honestly, you know, the story wasn't nothing. It was the same thing. The kids came in, Jason found out, or, well, in the first case, the mother, but for the rest of these movies, Jason found out people were there and decided to go and start killing them and stuff. So it was the same story beats, but yeah, definitely enjoyed it more than the first one. And yeah.
What about you, Rudy? What'd you think about this movie overall compared to the first one?
Yeah, I agree with Tawan. Second one had more of the character development. That's my favorite word. But you actually get to see more interaction amongst the cast members in the second part versus the first one. Like Tawan said, it's more so like they bunched a whole crew of people and then just had them act out like co-workers. The second part has more dialogue. It has more comedy. I noticed that they made the characters a little more sexual this time around.
A lot of ass shots, which was weird.
Yeah, like they knew that sex was selling at that time, I guess. But I liked it. I like this version of Jason too. He kind of reminds me of the killer from, what is that movie called? Something Sundown. The town before
The town that dreaded sundown.
Yeah. The
same which was based off a true story.
Mm-hmm. Texas, right, or where?
Where was it? Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, so I like the concept of Jason. I kind of wish they had stuck with that look instead of the hockey mask. I don't know why. it just goes well with the theme. But overall, the movie, I enjoyed it better than the first one for sure. It wasn't as boring to me.
For me, this is one of my favorites of the whole franchise because it introduces us to Jason and it kind of kicks off what will become the Friday the 13th franchise for forever now. And I will say, when I first saw this movie, I didn't know that that head in the fridge was Mrs. Voorhees. For some reason, I thought that we had like flash forward 10 years into the future and that woman who was calling her kid in, I was convinced that that was Alice. And then that kid was the head in the freezer because he killed Alice's kid and then killed her. It took me to like watch this again like 6 years ago to be like, oh, that's Mrs. Voorhees' head. That's not that kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept watching these movies thinking that that was that fucking kid and that Jason killed a kid and he killed Alice all in one swoop. But I enjoy this movie. I like it. The timeline gets a little wonky and the fact that Jason isn't dead and that he's a full-on grown adult and the fact that it's 5 years later, but it's also Friday the 13th still 5 years later, it's a lot of wonkiness. But Jason is alive. He's not a zombie yet. So with that being said.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you like the opening, though, with him killing Alice? Like, honestly, like, I don't know. To me, like, it's one of those tropes in horror movies. You know, they come back and take someone out, like, take people out from the first movie. But in this one, I'm like, it doesn't make sense.
It does. And, you know, former co-host Kennedy used to always say he hated watching horror movies when you got to the sequel and they killed off the previous survivor. And I was always like, no, I kind of get it. But you're right, with Alice, I didn't get it. Like, why? Well, actually, I do get it. He saw Alice kill his mother. He went to get revenge for his mother. So that, it kind of made sense. Like, that's the bitch who killed my mom. I gotta take her out. Now, how he got to her is...
That's what I'm wondering. Because I don't know if they... Did they even say where she was? Like, did they even, like, put up, like, a little car or anything? I don't know.
I don't think we get any indication where she is, but she's obviously in a suburban city. She's not in some small town. Because she's big houses. And... So how did Jason, because we see Jason's face at the end of the movie. So no one saw this big mountain man on the back of the Greyhound or the train. Like no one saw him. Like that's where it gets confusing. Because he can't drive. He's not Michael Myers. He can't drive. So
yeah,
that's where the confusion comes. Like I get that. I get wanting to kill Alice because she killed your mom. But how did he get to Alice?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind. What about you, Rudy? Do you mind that whole opening with him killing Alice?
I liked it. It was like a closure for her to her character. And like nowadays, I don't think they even mention like the previous survivors as much as they used to back in the day. With Alice's story, yeah, I wish they would have... disclosed her location and like what she was doing with her life besides her telling I forgot who she's talking to on the phone in the beginning, but she's like, I just want
her
to
mom
talk. Yeah, like so she wants to like escape from all that to like start her life fresh again. But like you would think someone who went through all that shit would want to be around your family, not isolated. So it just, that part didn't make sense to me. And but I liked it. It was like I said, a closure to that character so that they can move on to a new cast, new fresh meat for Jason LaKill. She seemed more I wouldn't say mature in this one, even though it was just like 5 minutes in the film, but she seemed not like the first, like in the first movie, she was more like kind of stupid, you know, like she was, what's that term I want to use? Naive. She didn't seem naive in the second part. She was more like, okay, I'm a strong woman now. I went through a lot of shit. And now I want to get my life back on track kind of thing, you know? So I liked it.
Well, speaking of that, Rudy, do you have any scenes that you liked or disliked?
So the scene that I liked and I think was iconic was when I forgive me for not knowing the characters' names. There's so many, but when that one girl is going to look for the couple that was having sex and she ends up finding them dead in the bedroom, and then Jason comes out under the blankets to, you know, do his thing.
Oh, when he rises up. Oh, I love that.
That was like the best scene, honestly, because it's like super creepy. You wouldn't expect him to come up like that as the girl, obviously. As an audience member, we know that's him, right? But imagine like just walking up to someone's room and you think it's them sleeping and then just someone comes out of under the blankets. So that was my favorite scene. My least favorite scene in the movie, well, I guess scenes, were just like the overly sexualized scenes. I didn't like the fact that that one girl was being a fucking hoe around that guy who was on a wheelchair, and she was pretty much asking him if he was like functioning down there. I don't know if you remember that scene, but
oh, the wheelchair guy.
Yeah,
I watched the uncut version of that kill, and it went on longer, and I was like, okay, I needed this version instead.
Yeah, I didn't like that scene because it's just like pretty much saying that all people who are handicapped are not functioning or whatever. And
wait, you didn't like that he was killed? Is that what you were saying?
No, I don't like the fact that her dialogue, like, she was pretty much like, how do I say it? Like, she was trying to figure out if his dick could get hard.
Yeah, she was trying to figure out if he was still able to have sex. I mean, I feel like that was an innocent question. She was flirting with the guy pretty hard. And like, if I was flirting with the guy and I found out, okay, it's not working, then I'm going to be kind of let down. But she was like, you know, it's working, so let's get it. Let's go get it on.
Yeah. And when I was watching Kill Count, apparently she liked him IRL, but then found out he was gay. Yeah. So that didn't go nowhere.
She was trying to get it in real life, not just in the movie, but she...
Yeah, so she actually didn't like him.
Oh, that fucking hoe. But yeah, that was my least favorite scene.
What about you, Tawan? You have any scenes you like or dislike?
The scene I actually did like was Mark's kill, the one in the wheelchair, because I don't know why, but when rewatching this, I remember seeing that kill, and I thought that was the funniest shit ever. And I don't know why when I rewatched it, I just laughed my ass off, but that shit was so funny to me. I don't know why. It's just for how long they have him rolling back.
Okay, and then in the uncut version, it goes longer.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just like that kill. It was just a funny kill, and I do like that one. I don't know if there were any scenes I say I disliked. Yeah, none that I could think of. I will just say they definitely did better with the like the first person shots, which I saw they actually were able to afford a Steadicam this time. That's why it looked better. So that was an improvement over the first one. Like those Steadicam, like first person shots of like Jason, like either people looking at him or him seeing them. So that was like an improvement, the shots that they were included in. But yeah, I don't think I have any shots that I actually... Our scenes, I would say, I disliked here. No one that I remember made me feel like uncomfortable for any of the other characters. Like unlike that creepy guy from the first one, everyone seemed very consenting here.
Everyone was trying to get their freak on, and I think
my which makes sense.
Yeah, they were young, they were attractive, they were, let's get it on. But I have to say, one of my favorite scenes is also the wheelchair scene, because it was shocking, because usually in movies, like, anyone under a certain age, or anyone who has any type of, like, disability are off limits. They don't get killed in the horror movies. But Jason's like, fuck that. This axe, this machete can get anybody. Like, everybody on my list. And I was like, oh, damn, he not playing around. I was like, damn, not even the wheelchair man is safe, Jason, come on. And another one of my favorite scenes is the bar scene, because this movie starts and there's like 20 counselors.
Yeah. Or
20 like kids. And I'm like, my first time watching, I'm like, okay, damn, everybody's about to get it. But then half of them go to the bar. And then that one guy, Ted, is like, is there any after hours places after here? And I was like, that one line, you just saved like 10 people from dying.
Thank you, though.
You don't even know it. Like, you just saved yourself and like so many other people from dying. Like, he's the real MVP of the entire fucking part two. My least favorite scene is the scene where Jason jumps through the window at the end, because you don't know if it was real or if it was a dream, and I didn't really, like, we already did that in the last movie. We don't need it again. And I never like when they reveal his face. I'm like, that takes away from the mystique. Like, we don't need to see Jason's face. And then the other scene, I hate the last scene, because all she's saying is, where's Paul? Where's Paul? And I'm like, okay, where the fuck is Paul? Because we just saw him. He helped her whoop Jason's ass. Where is Paul? So yeah, I don't like that. So yeah. Let's talk about the characters. Let's talk about Alice. To be honest, like I said earlier, I get why they brought Alice back. I get, because, you know, Jason watched her kill his mom and he wanted revenge. But I honestly could have done without it. I also could have done without that whole, like, recapping of the last, like, 10 minutes of part one. Like, why am I watching the ending of the last movie again?
Yeah, like, it's a little TV show.
Yeah, but what about you, Twan? What did you think about them bringing back Alice?
Very much sleep emoji, because I really did not care, to be honest. Like, they could have brought her back or not brought her back. It didn't even make a difference in the movie. Like, it was really just there to kind of be there. Like, because she had nothing to do with the story. It'd be different if, like, she came back to, like, say, warn them about opening the camp back up or something. And then, like, she died later on. But, like, she literally was the first kill and had nothing else to give us in the movie. And, except, like, you know, like, a, like, it was like a Scream kill almost. Like, it added a little bit. It added, like, well, at least it Scream, they added something to the plot. But this added nothing to the plot. And it was kind of just there to, like, close up, like, loose ends, I guess, to have people, like, not ask, like, where Alice was, like, in this
she
movie.
She should have been Crazy Ralph.
True. Like, yeah, like, if she knew that it was going to open back up, like, she could have went back and warned them or something, and then died, like, trying to help the counselors, something like that. But just have her at the beginning and then die, it's like, okay, that's like one less character from the first movie.
Yeah, what about you, Rudy? What did you think of Alice?
Yeah, I need to put some respect on her name. First of all, I like the introduction with Alice, because, again, I think it was like a closure to her character, like a send-off kind of thing, you know? And the whole point of the recap, in my opinion, was to, like, I guess, refresh everyone's memory of why she's even there in the first place. And, like,
the movie came out a year after the last one. Then people didn't forget. But it was the 80s. They were probably on drugs, so it was probably needed.
That's true. But, like, I think it was, it was a proper send-off. I don't have an issue with it. The recap fit in well. It was like a flashback almost of why she's there, why he's going to go back to kill her. He's like Michael Myers. If he has a target, he's not going to stop till he gets the target. So I wish she was in the entire movie too, honestly. She could have been like the Laurie Strode of the franchise. Not saying she's Laurie, but you know what I mean? Like, she would have been like the character that the other new ones rely on and shit like that, because she had already experienced that and blah, blah, blah. So, but other than that, I can't say much about her, because, again, she's only in the movie for like 5-10 minutes. So that's what I think of it.
True. I mean, they could model her after Laurie Strode, because Halloween 2 hadn't come out yet, so they couldn't copy it yet. So
that's
a downer. but what about, Rudy, what about Crazy Ralph? We got Crazy Ralph back.
We got him killed. Back. And he got killed, and that was like the most basic kill scene ever for such an impactful character as him. Like he deserved a better. I think he deserved a better kill than just getting like fucking his throat choked or slashed or whatever it was that happened to him. But it could have been more improvised. It could have been something that would have left a mark to the audience, like a big wow kill scene. But again, he was doing the same thing he did in the first part. He was trying to warn him. He had experience. He saw what he saw. And I do feel like this time around, they did kind of listen to him more, right? They weren't kind of dismissing him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the idea of Jason definitely lingered in like several characters' minds, especially the main final girl. So he kind of got through to them a little bit.
And I think it's also because they were aware of the killings that happened, obviously. So they were more like, oh, maybe he is right, kind of, you know, vibes. So, but yeah, I wish he would have. I mean, obviously, he wasn't going to live forever throughout the franchise, but his send off.
Yeah, he actually could have. I mean, the actor didn't die until like 2003.
Really? Shit. He lived a long time. Yeah. That was like in the 80s. But yeah, that's it.
I mean, I just love seeing him pull up in his little bicycle. And I was like, oh, Crazy Ralph is back. Save the kids.
He's so adorable.
Right? And then even watching his kill, like his extended kill on YouTube, it's still just him being strangled. It's just more like shots going back and forth of watching him being strangled on a tree with the wire. I was like, it's just a longer version of this stupid-ass kill. But what about you, Tuan? What'd you think about the return of the wise, Crazy Ralph?
Another character that wasn't utilized. There was no reason to kill Ralph. Because it's also the thing, like, Alice, like, they could have kept Ralph just to, like, have that, have, like, a connection there to, like, all these movies. Because I do feel like we said in the first one, like, these characters, they, like, say are, like, or perceived just, like, crazy or whatever. They end up being right, and I don't know, maybe in a later movie someone could have listened and actually took the advice of Ralph and not go, like, there, like, to Camp Crystal Lake or something like that. And Ralph is... And if we're thinking about the timeline that honestly is that messed up even by the second movie, Ralph had to been around for a while. Jason probably didn't see Ralph before. Why you kill him now?
Jason probably got sick of his shit. Like, God damn it, Ralph, I'm trying to kill these people and you messing up my good thing I got going on.
They probably was besties.
I mean, because this movie doesn't even take place at Camp Blood, Camp Crystal Lake. It takes place at Packinac Lodge. Like, how big is this fucking lake where it has all these... Because in future movies, we're going to be on another part of the lake where there's, like, residential houses. Like... So it was Ralph on his little bicycle going around the whole fucking big lake warning people? Like, is that what Ralph was? I mean, the timeline gets funky because after this, the timeline gets funky. I'll just wait because shit. The movies go from the day after to the day after to the day after to a week after, so... Ralph would have been busy. He would have spent like 2 weeks warning people to get the hell out of Dodge. But other than Ralph, let's talk about Mark, wheelchair Mark, who I thought wasn't gonna die because he was in a wheelchair. Like, there's no way they're gonna kill someone in a wheelchair. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't be that disrespectful. And he was all nice, and he was cute, and he was kind of, like, buff. And then he was just sitting there waiting for his girl to come back. And then Jason put the machete in his head. And I was like, oh, shit, they went there. But what about you, Tuan? What'd you think about Mark?
Yeah, Mark seemed like a good character. Like, one of those characters in these types of movies that you'd be like, oh, no, they can't kill Mark. Like, he's so nice. Like, but Mark is dead as hell. Like, they, like I said, I did think his scene, like, when he died was one of the best ones to me. I don't know, it was just something different, I guess, to kind of see. But, yeah, I did like his character. He's very nice, and like he had like a little bit, like, you know, of actual character to him. Like, they actually wrote a character this time around, unlike the first movie where they were really anything. Now, a question for you, Mark. Does he fall into any other archetypes?
I think he's supposed to be a jock, because he was like wearing like a jersey. He was buff. He was still getting ladies. I mean, other than this character, I don't think anyone else fits like a disabled character trope, or a character that usually doesn't get killed. I mean, a pregnant chick gets killed in another movie, but I don't think that fits the same mold.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's supposed to be the jock archetype.
But I liked his character, and he's definitely one of the nicer people that was around him. But honestly, I'll say most of them, like, they didn't. But many of them didn't give like super like red flags this time around. They felt more chill. He was just one of the like I'll say the most chill out of all of them.
I think they were more chill because they weren't meant to be suspects. Like, everyone in the last movie was meant to be a suspect.
That's true.
Until they died. So I think I was watching the kill count, and it was definitely said like this movie has a lot more downtime than the last one, so you got to know the characters more. But what did you think about Mark, Rudy?
Yeah, I liked him as a character. He seemed super sweet, and the wheelchair, him being in a wheelchair, kind of gave him more like, not spunk, but you know, like, I guess it made me feel more like sorry for him.
It made him stand out more.
Yeah,
made him
more sympathetic. Yeah, exactly. That's the word, sympathetic. You know, I'm not educated, so you know. But I think his character was pretty. I liked his character. He was likable. And I just found out, because I was, as you guys were talking about him, discussing him or whatever, the real actor passed away due to AIDS. So he was an openly gay man. So I'm kind of sad for that. Because, yeah. But anyway, going back to his character, his death scene, again, was decent. It wasn't, like, the best, in my opinion. Wait, Tawan, why did you like that one? Why was that your favorite scene?
It was more so, it was just funny to me.
I'm dead.
I don't know why, like, the rolling back in the chair after getting the fucking machete in, and how long it was just going down. I was honestly just dying laughing.
Yeah, that's, I don't have.
But also that sound he makes, like, ugh.
He's grunting. I'm dead.
But staying with you, Rudy, what did you think about Sandra?
Sandra.
She was the girl with the boyfriend who snuck away and found the little, who found their way to Camp Blood. She was the one who and her boyfriend were impelled.
Yeah, the curly hair girl. Yeah. First of all, she was a little thot. I didn't like her character, honestly. She seemed a little too like those suburban girls that are just too uppity and like too good and shit, and they try, you can tell they try to make her into like this humble character and likable and shit like that, but I just didn't fall for it. I don't know if it's just the way that she looked in the movie, just like she had that typical like cheerleader stuck up face, you know what I mean?
It's probably because the actress was underage. She was like
17, 16, I think.
Yeah, so they had to cut most of her scenes because she was like nude and the killing, yeah. Like the murder scene. So
I can't believe they actually even followed through with that plan of a 17-year-old girl doing those scenes.
It was, you know, Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood is Hollywood, regardless. But yeah, that's I don't really have much to say about her either as a character, because I didn't really connect with her. There are some other characters I'm sure you'll mention later on that I did kind of like. I like a lot. They had some like humor in them, and they were just like. Like the typical friends you'd have, and you can tell right away the actors were connected, but I just couldn't compare with Sandra.
What about you, Tawan? Do you have any thoughts on Sandra?
high key, I kind of forgot about Sandra. I just remember her dying. What was I gonna say?
If I'm being honest, I'm only mentioning Sandra because her brother appears in the movie down the line. Her brother appears, which is confusing because of the timeline within the movie. That's the only reason I brought her up. So when I bring up her brother again in like three movies and I explain the timeline, you'll all be like, what the fuck?
Okay, that makes more sense. High key though, because I remember watching if her and her boyfriend didn't go off, they probably would have been alive because they probably would have stayed at the bar. But I remember they couldn't go because they snuck off to the other Camp Blood. So yep, they fucked it up for themselves. They probably could have been alive if they weren't snooping around.
Yep. That was on them.
Yeah, but we needed some body count. We needed a sex body count. Someone had to die because they had sex.
But what about Vicky? Vicky was the one who wanted Mark, and who wanted to do anything to get him. What do you think about Vicky, Rudy?
The first
she wanted
thing
to
I,
know if it worked.
The first thing I thought of when I saw Vicky is what is that that girl's name from Sleepaway Camp? The main character,
Angela.
Yes, she. There's a scene where she's yelling, and she looks just like Angela when she's yelling at the end of the movie, Sleepaway Camp. That shit threw me off guard. I was like cracking up when I seen it. But yeah, she's the girl that walked in when Jason came out of the bed. Well, she was a little fast ass girl. First of all, she wanted to get with the guy in the wheelchair, and she was, like you said, willing to do anything to get at him. I didn't find anything significant as far as her character goes. I think she was just one of those girls that wanted to go to camp and explore and do like teenage girly things and just enjoy herself. But other than that, I don't really remember much of her. Honestly, I didn't pay too much attention to her character besides those few scenes that I seen, you know, that were like the highlights of the movie with her.
Tuan.
Yeah, if I recall, I don't remember Vicky really having much to do besides like being a little thirsty for Mark. And her death scene wasn't even not the major either. She was just like looking into the camera when she died the whole time. So it really wasn't even nothing like really that good about it either. But she did, because of her like that scene, we did get that nice shot of Jason like popping up out the bed, so that was cool. But besides that, like I don't think I have much an opinion on her, to be quite honest.
Well, since no one wants to talk about Vicky, Rudy, what'd you think about Paul?
I'm kind of upset with his scene at the end because they never mention anything that happens to him after Jason comes back. And then all you see in the next scene is that his girl is being taken by the ambulance and shit. So, like, they never really say what happened to him, how did he die. It was just, like, an off-screen kind of thing.
But there's no scene explanation. Like, the actor didn't even know what happened to Paul at the end.
I wonder if that was purposely done for the audience to kind of guess if he was going to come back or if he was even dead or not. Like if she was just hallucinating like Alice did in, you know, in the beginning of the movie where she had a bad dream. That's kind of what it reminded me of with him, his character. But I don't have much to say about Paul except the fact that he was obviously there down for his girl. He was going to save her regardless, but ended up getting killed off apparently. I wish they would have mentioned, like, do they ever mention in these movies, because I don't really focus on their backstories that much, why do they even go to, like, camp? Is it just, like, for trips, or do they have, like, obligations to be there, or what?
I think they were open, I think with this one, I want to be sure, because I think with this one, he was opening, Paul was opening a school for camp counselors. So it was a school for camp counselors that would eventually become camp counselors.
That makes sense.
What about you, Tuan? What'd you think about Paul?
Paul was the one who was with Jenny, right?
Yep.
Okay. Paul seemed cool. He definitely seemed like a better person in charge than, I'm forgetting his name, but the guy who was in charge of them in the last movie.
You see that pervert?
He seems like a better leader than Chrissy, and also just seemed like, he didn't give off like any creep vibes, which is good. Like, I know, like, I'm not supposed to like expect someone to like be a creep or anything, but like, I don't know, movies back then, like, people who were like in charge of like teenagers always just gave off like creep energy. And because I guess also he did have like Jenny as his girlfriend, so it did help that. But he seemed like
I think it helped, but they were all the same age this time too, because Steve Carell was significantly older than all of them.
That's true. I will add that. That actually is true. And he was trying to just have fun with his counselors. Like, I don't think he like really assigned them to do a lot of like tasks or anything, or like Chrissy like just left them alone. Like, he included them when he went to the city this time. Like, Chrissy just going to a bar for like, I don't know, like a diner for like 8 hours and then coming back and immediately getting killed. So that was like a better little choice to include. But yeah, this guy Paul seemed like way nicer and better person to probably be around for a summer.
The only thing I hate is that we don't know if he like died or not, because like, he was there, he helped her kick Jason's ass, and then that scene with him and Dog and Jenny, it was all cute, and then it cuts to the actual end, and then he's just like, he's not there. Where's Paul? Like, where is Paul? Like, did he just disappear? Did Jason take him and then we just don't see Paul ever again? Like, where the fuck is Paul? But other than that, I liked him. Like, he was a good male character. He was better than any of the guys from the last movie. He actually put up a good fight and he was there until the end. So I enjoyed Paul. But I really enjoyed Jenny. Now, Alice held her own against Mrs. Voorhees, but Jenny had some good character. From like her first scene, we find out that she has like a child psychology degree. And then she's at the bar and she's like trying to like dive into Jason's psyche. Like, oh, he watched his mom get murdered. It must be affecting him somehow. And then she takes all of that and she uses it to one up Jason for a bit by pretending to be his mom. Like, who the fuck would have thought of that? Like, this is my way out of a situation. I have to be his mom. But what did you think, Tuan? What did you think about Jenny and her child psychology degree?
Yeah, I definitely like Jenny way more than Alice. Like, she actually had like some character to her. And going back to what you said earlier about how like the first one was supposed to be a whodunit, even though we know whodunit and it didn't feel like a whodunit, because that was all dropped for this movie, it was better this time around because of it. And she felt like one, like an actual character. And yeah, they gave her like some backstory, like her whole like child psychology thing and stuff, and it came into play later when she tried to like use that for herself to like get out of the situation with Jason and you know, portray like she was his mother and stop him from what he was doing and stuff. So it ended up helping and actually did calm him down for a bit. So yeah, I was surprised at that, and the fact that they even did something different in that type of way was was really nice to see, because it didn't just feel like cookie cutter, because it could have been super cookie cutter, like, oh, like she just fights her way out of it. So it could have been something different, but they actually used a little bit of logic there, so that worked. And yeah, I did like her character. She seemed very nice too, and used her brain to fight back.
Yeah, to one hit it right on, like, you're spot on with exactly. I was about to say the same thing about Jenny. I love the fact that they this is one particular character that they actually did a good job with character development. It made you understand her character more, especially towards the end when she was manipulating Jason into thinking that she was his mom. And he's so fucking stupid, first of all, for believing it, you know. But, you know, Jason is Jason, and I don't think he was all the way there in the head. So when she was doing that reverse psychology on him, it worked for a hot minute. And obviously afterwards, he figured out that she was fucking around, you know.
Shit, it worked on me. I was stuck. When my first time watching it, I was like, what's happening? Mother speaking. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, you know, like how gullible Jason is for him to actually believe it just by her pretending to be his mother. That itself shows you he's not as intelligent in that, you know, aspect. But obviously, he's just so fucking angry and he wants to kill. So the fact that she tamed them for that moment, I was shocked too. Like, damn, she did her job and her homework to know exactly what to do in the situation to get out of it. Jenny was my favorite character in the movie too. She was like the motherly / professional influence for these dumb kids that were just doing their own thing. And she knew what she was doing. You know, she wasn't just like the typical blonde girl who was just running away and tripping and not knowing what to do next, you know? So I always respect characters that are portrayed just like Jenny, because that's the realistic point of view that we want to be in. That's what we want to be in if we ever were to be in that situation that she was in. You get me? Like, you want to be the smart person. You never want to be the...
Yeah, because she never even knew if the tale of Jason was real. But she also wasn't quick to dismiss it. And she was just like, you know, I'm curious, like, what he would be like. Curious to what he's doing now. Like, she was asking questions about it because, you know, she has that psychology degree. So she wants to know what Jason's like. So she wasn't completely oblivious. And then as soon as she got back to the campsite, she was thrown into all the fucking, like, all the BS, like, bodies just started popping up. I don't know why. I saw a video and they're like, why is she reacting to seeing crazy Ralph's body? She never even met him. I'm like, she's reacting to a dead body. I don't care if I never met the person. If somebody's dead body flops in front of me, I'm gonna freak the fuck out.
Yeah, like, what is she supposed to do? Just sit there, look at it, be like, oh no, like, what the fuck? Like, if you've never seen a dead body or something, or, like, that's not, like, a job or something that you have to do, like, deal with something like that, you're gonna freak out.
This random-ass dead body just popped out on me. I'm gonna freak out. So, Jenny is the MVP. She kicked ass. She's actually one of my favorite final girls, and actually, she might be the favorite of mine of the entire franchise. I don't think we get a... I don't think there's any final girl after her that does it better.
I feel like there won't be any competition.
No. Well, there definitely won't. I mean, there'll be some final guys coming up, but final girls, no. No, no way. But let's talk about Jason. This is our first real look at Jason. This isn't a flashback. This isn't some fake, like, dream sequence, mirage. This is actually Jason with the potato sack over his head. Rudy, what'd you think about Jason?
Well, for the first time seeing Jason on screen, I was impressed. I like the costume. I like the whole idea of him looking like the killer from the Town of Dreaded Sundown. It gave it a more realistic tone because they are surrounded by, like, the woods and shit. So you would automatically assume it's someone who's hunting out there and he's trying to scare off the counselors or kill them, you know, whatever. And also his face reveal at the end reminded me so much of those monsters from... Wrong Turn and The Hills Have Eyes. So like a combination of both, in my opinion. He looked a little weakly for him to be that strong to kill a thousand people, though. He was a little too, you know, small framed. Didn't we start seeing him get a little more bulkier and like bigger as the franchise moved on? Or am I just going crazy?
Oh, no, he definitely gets... he doesn't get bulky until he's a zombie.
Yeah, right? But, like, he... I didn't like that he seemed too underweight to take down all those people like that. Like,
yeah, because like, his height and weight fluctuates with the stunt person who's playing him. But it doesn't become consistent, like, he's short but bulky until, like, part five or six.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. But I loved it. I really wish they would have just kept that concept with the whole sack in the face and just like the farmer look. I like the hockey mask too, but I don't know. It's not as scary.
I think they got away from that look because of the town that dreaded sundown, because that movie already had that look going. That movie's also based off real life events.
Yeah,
that happened. So that's why. I mean, they also only really picked it because it was like a last minute thing. So that's kind of why they went there. But I love this first appearance of Jason. He looks badass with his overalls. I don't like the face reveal. I wish they would have never showed his face, because going forward, there's always going to be a face reveal, and he always looks different every fucking time because there's a different like VX team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I don't enjoy the face reveals, but he was big improvement over his mom, because I'm still trying to figure out how his mother was throwing people through windows and choke and getting like one up and on these big buff guys, and she's some small scrawny old lady.
This Pamela, she had that strength in her.
Well, I guess that's what Jason's tall, skinny ass got it from. But what about you, Tuan? What did you think of Jason's first appearance in the franchise as the Jason that we know and love?
Yeah, not bad for a first like appearance in the movie, and the series as a whole, actually. But trying to think, like, I don't think I had any issues or anything with Jason here and like his first go round. The kills that they had him do were good. They were varied. Not everything was just like a knife like to the throat or anything like that. I guess you could say he takes after his mother in that he switches it up sometimes. But I think overall I didn't mind like the way that they went with this one, even though it doesn't make sense like from a timeline perspective, but you could talk about that forever, honestly. But I do like the first go around appearance that we get here, and interested to see how he gets the hockey mask in the third movie, because I forgot that he didn't have the hockey mask like the first time around we saw him.
The way he gets his hockey mask is actually, it's believable.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't think about it.
At the end of this movie, he doesn't have the potato sack, by the way, mm-hmm. at the end of this movie. So the way he gets the hockey mask, when we get to part three next week, I actually like, because Jason is still human at this point. So everything leading up to the hockey mask is actually my favorite part about like the character of Jason. So I can't wait to get there.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I'm interested in I'm interested to see where it goes. And yeah, for a first appearance, it was good, and I had no issues with the way anything went here with Jason, at least.
See, I like the first appearance of Jason, but I don't like this Jason. Like, I don't like any of the Jasons until we get to New Blood. Like, my favorite Jason is Kane Hodder. So every Jason up until him, they're lackluster, but you know, this is the first Jason. There's no, he was the first. He laid the groundwork, and well, it was two actors who played Jason in this movie. So they did it together. But overall, it's a good introduction. Now, before we move on, what the fuck happened to the dog? Did the dog disappear with with Paul? Because the dog was there.
That was confusing.
Because the dog was there, right? He was there in that last like jump scare scene. And then we cut back and it's just Jenny. There's no Paul. There's no dog. So what happened to them?
Yeah, and also, like, didn't they show the dog mangled and shit?
They showed Jason, like, walking up on the dog, but they never showed the dog, like, being hurt by Jason.
Or was that just a random dog? Because didn't they show, like, when Vicky and what's-her-name went into the woods, they showed, like, a dog or something? Like, a fucked-up dog?
Maybe. Maybe he's like Michael Myers. Maybe he eats dogs.
I can believe it, though.
But let's move on to some behind-the-scenes facts. The budget for this one was bigger because the Ferris wheel made a lot of money. The budget for this was $1.25 million, and they made $21.7 million back in the box office. Now, some interesting info. The actress who played Alice, Adrienne King, was originally meant to star in the movie, not just cameo in the first scene. It was originally believed that she didn't want to come back to the movie due to her actually having a stalker in real life due to the success of the first movie. And it was so bad that somehow the stalker actually met her and became friends with her while also stalking her to a point where she was telling her friend about the stalker, not knowing that he was the stalker. And it all ended with like him holding her hostage with a gun to her head. But then flash forward, we find out that wasn't the reason why. She actually didn't come back over money dispute. And it was so bad that they didn't even give her a script. That entire scene, then everything you see her in was all improv because she had no script, she had no dialogue. They gave her like some direction cues, but all her dialogue, all the movements was all improvised up until the point where Jason kills her. Like, who did she piss off? I already said that the death of Sandra and her boyfriend had to be cut because the MPAA thought it was too graphic and because the actress was underage. So a lot of her scenes had to be deleted. And like I also already mentioned, Paul's fate confuses everyone involved, most of the actors and the director, apparently, because no one really knows if Paul was alive or dead, and the writer never didn't think it was necessary to explain that. Because he's a fucking idiot. Now, critics' reaction. This currently has a 28% of Rotten Tomatoes. Robert Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times wrote that Friday the 13th Part 2 is a cross between the mad slasher and a dead teenager genre. The Clarion Ledger wrote that Friday the 13th Part 2 obviously does not pretend to be anything more than it is. A cheap dime store cheap thriller aimed at the adolescent market. It is designed to be predictable enough to make an average fourth grader feel sharp with it. I kind of feel offended. What the hell? They are so rude. Arizona Daily Star praised the film's special effects, noting that Jason as effectively disgusting sight and ultimately amazing. Bloody Disgusting said, it doesn't exactly stray away from the formula of the original film, neither do most of the other sequels, but Friday the 13th Part 2 still stands as an iconic and important entry in the series due to the introduction of Jason as the antagonist of the series. And I agree. Because did anyone want to see movies of Mrs. Voorhees running around saying, killer, mommy, killer? Like, no, I would have cut out. Like, I'm sorry, bye, Mrs. Voorhees. But before we wrap it up, Rudy, do you cash or pass Friday the 13th Part 2?
I definitely cash this one. I think it's way better than Part 1. And I'm not just saying this to like be fair with, you know, or be equal, but I sincerely liked the second one better than the first one only because it had more action and it had somewhat of more character development, which I'm always looking forward to seeing in movies. Because if I can't connect with the characters, or if I don't like them for whatever reason, I just can't get into it. I don't know why. So this one, even though it didn't necessarily have character development all throughout the movie, it was definitely better than the first one. So yes, I definitely would cash it, and I recommend anyone who hasn't seen any of the Friday movies to get into them.
Tuan, do you cash or pass Friday 13th Part 2?
Yeah, I would say I cash on Part 2, Friday 13th. Definitely an improvement over the first one for me. I like the characters more. I like the... Honestly, the characters did it more so this time. Like, that was, I'll say that was, like, the main thing missing from the first one. Even though, like, there was no, like, there really was no story here, to be honest, besides, like, just it being, you know, a slasher. The characters is what makes it, because if the characters in the slasher aren't good, then I just want everybody to die, honestly. But then this one actually cared about some of the people who died. I'm like, oh no, not Mark, even though I laughed. Like, not Mark, or, like, not Jenny. Like, Jenny's such a good character. I don't want her to die. So, like, it definitely added more because the characters were a little bit better here. So it made me want to root for some of them, whereas in the first one, I was just like, I didn't really care what happened to anyone there. So definitely felt like more like I was rooting for people in this one to actually not die. But yeah, definitely better than the first one. Would cash this one. Honestly, if someone was watching them, I probably would tell them to just start at this one.
Which, given that they recapped the entire ending, exactly. The first one, they won't be missing out much. But for me, I also cash. This is a great movie. This is actually one of my favorites, one of my like top three of the franchise. So, like you both said, there's more character development. The story's pretty much the same. It's pretty much just basically a remake of the first one, but with better characters and a better antagonist, and just overall, just big improvement. So for me, it's a cash. I would definitely tell people to go watch this. Like if I was back there in 1981, I probably would have saw it in theaters more than once. So yeah. But join us next week as we go, as we take a deep dive into Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D. Well, that's how it was marketed anyway. Friday 13th Part 3 in 3D.
Not how the red and blue glasses.
Oh, it's 1982. It was definitely the red and blue glasses. Ooh. Now, you are able to find this, like, Blu-ray and DVD, like the Blu-ray DVD, but I will never buy that because I doubt but the DVD, the blue. I've seen this movie before. I've seen the movie before. There's no need to watch it in 3D. So just watch regular old Friday 13th Part 3. And then tune in to listen to us talk about it next week. Goodbye. The Haddonfield Horrors Podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?